radio.co.za.
Classic Business with Michael Avery on FM1.
Welcome back, everybody, and please join me in welcoming Dion van der Walt. Dion is the sales manager at Software Solutions, and today we're going to be talking about how South African business can stop wasting money on tech that doesn't work. You know, I've even come across this in my business, and certainly when I was in corporate. Dion, why is this something that is top of your mind at this point?
I think, thank you, Dawn, just from us engaging, I suppose, different market sectors and sizes of enterprise business, you know, for me, it was common, and it's something that we're trying to solve as an organization in how we steer the narrative as it pertains to seeing South African businesses succeed. So a large component of that for us is the tech that sits behind it and really seeing value realization for what you've invested in. And for us as South Africans, we often think that the best labels should get the job done, you know, as it pertains to the different pieces of software. It promises the world, but, you know, we often see that organizations don't fully realize the return on investment, if you will. And we're trying to see that change, and we're trying to see them really get the most out of the software they own, yeah, and maximize that potential.
I suppose one of the problems is that, you know, small businesses particularly find themselves sometimes overwhelmed. You know, they might start a business because they have expertise in a certain field, but, you know, the digital side of it may not necessarily be one of them. And not only that, not, you know, just as they may be coming to terms with some of the tech that's already involved in their business, AI is coming crashing into the forefront.
Sure.
And everybody's having to learn, you know, brand new technology all over again. I mean, everybody that I speak to, listen, including myself, I'm a little bit of a tech buff myself, you know, are developing their own, you know, are developing their own agents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a very exciting field, and probably, I suppose, if embraced, can actually overcome some of those overwhelming feelings that some of these businesses may have, because a lot of this AI is actually quite intuitive. It's actually quite easy to use at the end of the day. Or am I deluding myself there?
No, I think, you know, there's a lot in that statement, Dawn, and maybe I'll just take it back to what really impressed me with the question, and that's your framing of where we start as a small and medium enterprise and as we grow up through the maturity of that organization. And I think a large component of being overwhelmed by technology is the fact that we are more, I suppose, reactive to the business need. So, by example, you don't know anything about governance and compliance up until the moment you get audited and you're big enough to get audited, right? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, we needed all of these pieces of software in place to actually shield us from a negative outcome. And it's that type of relationship that small and medium enterprises, as they mature, find themselves in that forces them to be reactive. And then they start developing business strategy around how do we have a better outcome going forward. You know, and maybe just to touch on the AI component, I was listening to an interview on another radio station a couple of weeks back, and the statement was made that AI is the splitting of the atom for this generation. It's going to do for humanity what nuclear power did for us many years ago. And I thought about that, and I'm like, it challenged me, because a lot of what you get out there is fairly rudimentary and light. Just recently, we did an initiative with the University of the Western Cape, and we're talking about students in their final years. So let's say they're 23 at a stretch. And we gave them real-world business requirements, and they used, and part of the brief was to use AI to solve the requirement. And the most incredible work that these guys and girls delivered. You know, and so I get excited when I think about how you framed AI. I think the more that we engage it, the more that we become used to it, you know, the more value I think intrinsically is then found within those product sets, because it matures as a product. Right now it's impressive because it's new and it's doing things that let us maybe more automation even than artificial intelligence. But I really believe we'll get to a place in the near future very quickly where these products start and replacing the human components of a very crass way to express it. But there are low to no value or rudimentary tasks that don't really belong within a human domain. Those types of tasks should be anticipated and executed on an autonomous fashion. And we should really see people freed up to do the excellent work that is fitting of people.
I agree. You know, I think there is the fear out there that AI is going to replace jobs, and it certainly is. It's going to replace, just as you say, a lot of those mundane jobs. But it will also, particularly, I think, for small and medium business companies, actually increase their productivity. Because, you know, often when you're a small company, you try to be a jack of all trades and don't necessarily have all those skills. But if you can actually, you know, sort of train an agent or get somebody to help you train an agent, it can actually replace having to, you know, increase your overheads, which, look, that's not great for unemployment, particularly in a place like, but it's the reality.
You know what's not great for unemployment is poor GDP growth.
Sure.
So if we're able to have a plethora of startups that do really well, that have a positive impact to that GDP, I think we'll be creating more jobs. And in turn, you know, that would be at the back of really great AI initiatives. I was reading an article the other day where they're starting to position that the first single employee $1 billion organization is most likely going to start in the next, I think the statistic was 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
And it's to this point that you're mentioning of AI can replace the human component. And as it skills up, you literally have a visionary sitting behind a tool set that's able to execute great business function within agents and bots and that nature of thing to deliver a service or a product that doesn't require human engagement in a workplace necessarily. So yeah, it was an interesting read, and they're already starting to think along those channels. You know, there's this trend around the, maybe Gen Zs is a bit older now, but Gen Alpha, as they're coming in, and they're saying it's probably within that generation that you'll see it as they start to ideate within their teens that that phenomenon would take place.
You know, I think one of the things that might occur, and I mean, this is not a very popular opinion, is that if it does result in unemployment or underemployment, you know, perhaps where you only have to work 3 or 4 hours a day, then the notion of a universal credit, you know, a sort of a universal salary that absolutely everybody gets becomes more of a reality, because the GDP is there, you know, the productivity is there, you know, the taxpayer money is there to actually fund that. But everybody can take that, you know, universal credit, decide not to work at all, can at least alleviate the poverty. I mean, it's something that you have to think about. You know, look, we have an aging population problem, and there are not enough youngsters coming up through the ranks. And, you know, this is going to take a few decades to actually work itself through the system. And maybe AI will come riding into the rescue, because, look, let's face it, how many of us really enjoy those repetitive tasks? You know,
yeah, no.
You know, how bad can it really be if that is what it is? Now, along the lines of, you know, this sort of single business, $1 billion, single owned business thing, where do you see the potential for that actually sort of developing? Because maybe there are entrepreneurs out there who can start thinking along those lines. Is it going to be drop shipping? That's
an interesting thought.
Hey, you know?
Yeah, drop shipping, I think, has come and gone. But it might even have a component of that. To me, we need to understand why technology becomes prevalent and why trends are trends. And the biggest driver for this self-sufficiency, let's maybe frame it as self-sufficiency, is truly unemployment or unattractive opportunities for employment. And this is leading people into the space of perhaps I could do something different. And then they ideate. And it's typically a young mind that does that. You know, the moment that you layer complexity over someone's personal life, let's say you're married and you've bought a house. Now, all of a sudden, your appetite for risk is significantly less and you need to secure a stable income. And so you'll see that, let's call it middle income bracket, support that and they contribute then back to the economy. I think the number of companies that succeed at that phenomenon of the single employee $1 billion company will be few and far between. I don't think everyone will have the success that necessarily represents, but perhaps they're able to start a side business as a supplementary income that perhaps services them, which works well. I mean, I don't see big organizations like our big banks through South Africa becoming irrelevant. You know, many years ago around crypto, people introduced the fact that crypto is going to take over the world. And it was just an alternative investment with high risk and high return is really all that it is. And I don't think it's going to change our fiscal policies or system as in the long run.
Thanks so much for your input, Dion. That was Dion van der Walt, sales manager at Think Tank Software Solutions.